Alrighty, well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 38. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on 3 days and three nights. This is one of the first teachings I prepared for an English teacher in my high school many, many, many years ago. It came to be this time of year. One that always blesses me a bunch, and I thought it might bless you. In Matthew 12, verse 38, it says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." We want to see a sign. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but or except the sign of the prophet Jonas." Who's Jonah? "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the what?
Earth.
So Jesus Christ told them, just as Jonah was dead 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish, so would Jesus be in the heart of the earth. And tonight we're going to examine those 3 days and three nights and compare them to what tradition in, you know, Christian circles says on the subject. You go to Mark chapter 15, verse 33. Mark chapter 15, verse 33. So we celebrate Easter Sunday, right? The day that we recognize when Jesus Christ got up from the dead. And most Christian churches recognize this Friday as Good Friday. And what they're recognizing with Good Friday is the day that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. But if you believe what the Word of God says, and you believe that God says what he means and means what he says, it's very difficult to get 3 days and three nights out of Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday morning. So we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about that subject. Mark 15:33, it says, "And when the sixth hour was come..." Now the sixth hour in biblical times is noon, right? So they started counting their hours at dawn, which is approximately 6 a.m., so 6 hours from that point would be noon. And it says in verse 33 again, "When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." So if the sixth hour was noon, then the ninth hour would be approximately 3 p.m. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying..." He's on the cross. He's been crucified at this point. So he's been hanging there for at least 3 hours. And he says, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We know from the class that it's, "Why, for this purpose was I spared," right? And verse 35, it says, "And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calls Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come and to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost," which means he died. So it was around 3 p.m. that he died. "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." Right? And that veil represented the separation of God and man, right? In the tabernacle, they separated the holiest of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, from the areas where, you know, the Levitical priests could go by a curtain. And in the temple, it was, you know, a wall. This is what they called the veil. And that veil was rent or torn in two when this happened, symbolizing that that separation between God and man was, you know, no longer there, which is kind of cool. That's just a bonus. Verse 39, and when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Verse 42. And now when even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the what? Sabbath. The day before the Sabbath. So it was beginning to get to be even, which means evening time. The sun was going down. And because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved or begged for the body of Jesus. And that, in verse 42, where it says, the day before the Sabbath, is where Christian tradition gets the idea that it was a Friday, right? The Sabbath takes place on a Saturday. You can drive through Lakewood very quickly on Saturdays, right? So that's normally when the Sabbath is. And so the day before, logically, naturally, some would say it is a Friday, right? And that's where they get the idea of Good Friday. So in verse 45 or 44, it says, and Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. Right, so Pilate was kind of surprised that Jesus Christ had already died. Oftentimes crucifixions lasted days, right? It could be a very painful and drawn out way to kill someone. But he was kind of surprised, and he said, he was really dead already? And the centurion said, yep, he's dead. So verse 45, and when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. He said, okay, you can have it. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. And in verse 1 of chapter 16 it says, and when the Sabbath was past, so now the Sabbath is over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week?
Sunday.
Very good. So very early Sunday morning, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So super early. Sun's just coming up. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Right? So tradition says that he rose on a Sunday, because these people came Sunday morning and they were informed that he was not there, that he was risen, right? But it was very early when they got there. So if we follow tradition and generously give the Friday, this Good Friday, the full day and full night, which he really only died around 3 p.m., and Saturday the full day and full night, and they get there Saturday morning or Sunday morning, if we include Sunday morning as a day, you still only have 3 days and two nights, right? You're still, at best, missing a night, right? So, as we know, sincerity is no guarantee for truth. So we have to look at some of the verses that are difficult in light of the ones that are clear, right? In the light of the ones that are clear. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be in verse 3. So do a little detective work tonight and piece this all together. 1 Corinthians 15:3. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third what?
Day.
He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Okay, so that's pretty clear, right? It's not difficult to interpret. What? When did he get up? The third what?
Day.
Third day. Very good. So if he got up the third day, then, and we know from the verse in Matthew that he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, then we can kind of do a cool little pattern thing, right? So we can say, well, what comes after the day? Night. What comes after the night? Day, right? Day, night, day, night, day, night. That's the pattern. So if he got up on a day, the third day, then we can go backwards. And then you have the third night, the second day, second night, first day, first night. So he spent his time in the earth, started on a night, and then a day, and then a night, and then a day, and a night, and then on the day he got up. Does that make sense? So his time being dead or in the earth was night, day, night, day, night, day. Well, that's good information to know. Go to verse 7. Or, sorry, chapter 5, verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. So now we know a little bit extra. We know that he died and then he was dead a night, a day, a night, a day, a night, a day. If the Bible's true, which we believe it is. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our what?
Passover."
That's right. Our Passover is sacrificed for us. Okay, so here it says that Christ was our Passover, and he was sacrificed for us. So with that information, we need to know, well, what is the Passover? What does that mean? And in order to find that out, we have to go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So we're almost all the way back at the beginning. Chapter 23 and verse 4. We'll start in verse 4. It says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons." So this was what was to be like holy feasts that God had put in place for Israel to recognize and to celebrate each year. Verse 5, "In the 14th day of the first month, At even is the Lord's what? Passover." Is the Lord's Passover. So the Passover was going to be in the evening on that 14th day of the first month. That was the Lord's Passover. And as we know from the record in Exodus, right, the Passover was in recognition of the final plague that God sent upon the Egyptians, right? It was the final plague that the angel of death came and they were to sprinkle the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, and anywhere that that blood was, that angel of death would pass over, correct? Saving the firstborn in that house. And that's where we get Passover from. Well, God wanted the Israelites to recognize this every year, to be reminded of what he did for them every year, and that's Passover. And they were supposed to do it on the 14th day of the first month. Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month, so the day after Passover starts in the evening, that 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day of that 7-day feast, you shall have a what? A holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Okay, so the first day of this feast was a special day. It was a holy convocation. And it says, you shall do no servile work therein. And that sounds an awful lot like the Sabbath, right? They were not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath either. So this first day of this feast for them was Sabbath-like, right? It was a holy special day, and they weren't supposed to be doing any work. All right, so let's, armed with that information, let's go back to Luke 22. Luke 22. So Jesus Christ, it says, was our Passover sacrificed for us. Similar to the Passover lambs all the way back in the book of Exodus that were killed so that their blood could be sprinkled on the door and those people could be saved. So Jesus Christ is likened or compared to that. He is our Passover. Well, God said, you recognize this every year. You have this feast, you celebrate Passover. It turns out, they're still doing it when Jesus Christ is alive. Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, or nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. All right, so the Passover is getting close, and the chief priests and scribes are looking to kill Jesus at this point, right? It's close to the end. Verse 3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he, Judas, might betray him, Jesus, unto them. And they were glad and covenanted in to give him money. So they basically cut a deal, paid him off in order to betray Jesus. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus unto them in the absence of the multitude, right? So his plan was to betray Jesus away from the multitude when Jesus Christ was more or less alone, because he knew that he had all these followers and they were going to be real upset if something happened to Jesus. Verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread. And the word day in that verse is better translated time. It says, then came the time of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. So it was very close to this 14th of the first month of the year. The time was drawing close. And verse 8, and Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good men of the house, the master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. All right, so these are instructions that Jesus Christ was giving to Peter and John. And the preparing for the Passover was, they were getting ready for this day, right? Like when you ladies or gentlemen, whoever does the grocery shopping, it's not me and my family, but they have to go out and get all the food ready for Easter, right? We prepare that stuff. And most people don't do it the morning of because that's nightmarish, right? And there's all of these people in Jerusalem ready to celebrate. You know, everybody kind of descends on the city for this feast. And so they're preparing for it. They're going out, they're doing the things that they need to do to get ready for Passover, which is coming up. It's not the Passover that day, but they're getting ready to prepare for it. Verse 14. And when the hour was come, okay, so some time had passed, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And that hour was come means it was the hour of his death, when he knew he had to give his life. When that time was coming near, he sat down with them and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And that's a cool expression. With desire, I have desired, meaning with great desire. I've really wanted to be able to share this Passover with you guys before I suffer. Verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And so what he was telling them was, I really wanted to be able to share Passover with you, but it's not to be, right? I'm not going anymore. I no longer can do so, right? Because he had gotten the revelation and the green light from God that this was his time. Verse 17, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. And this is what's known as the Last Supper, right? This is the final supper that Jesus Christ had with his apostles before being crucified. But it was not the Passover dinner. Not the Passover dinner. That was to be the next day. Verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire amongst themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Right? So, this is the night before that he would be betrayed and handed over to the scribes and the Pharisees by Judas. All right, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. So when it said in Corinthians that Jesus Christ was our Passover, it's quite literal. It's not just a figurative thing that he was sacrificed for us, but that he would be our Passover. Right? For them, he was the Passover sacrifice. He would not get to enjoy that Passover meal with them because he was being sacrificed at the Passover itself. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a what?
High day.
So we have the same record here in John. And in John it says that Sabbath day was a high day. It was a high day. Right? So when it says, because it was the preparation, it was the preparation for that high day, that holy convocation. And that was Passover. It was the preparation day for Passover. Passover was to take place in that very evening. So because it was the preparation, the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that he might be taken away. So the next day, as we read before in Mark, was the Sabbath, and that's where people assume that it was a Friday. But it was a special one. It was a high day, a holy convocation, which means it didn't have to be a Saturday. It could have been a Saturday, but it didn't have to be a Saturday. It could have been any day of the week that this Sabbath referred to, right? Which also means that when Jesus died at about 3 p.m., it didn't have to be a Friday. Could have been a Friday, but it didn't have to be, because it was the day before this holy convocation. Verse 41, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden was a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh or near at hand. It was very close, right? And so this is where they laid Jesus Christ to rest, because it was the preparation day. Time was running out. It was already very late in the day when Joseph Arimathea went to go ask for the body. They didn't have a lot of time before sundown, and then they should not do any servile work. It was that holy day. It was that Sabbath. So they put him in this sepulcher because it was just close. It was right there. No other body had been laid in that tomb at this point. It was kind of a, you know, hewn out. They probably had like tombs for sale on the thing, right? It hadn't been used yet, but they were like, we gotta put him here because it's close. So let's go back to Mark 16. And God's timing is very, very cool in all of this. If you ever want to read all the nitty-gritty detail about it, I highly recommend Jesus Christ, Our Passover. But it's amazing, you know, all of the different prophecies in the Old Testament that talked about Jesus Christ being the Messiah and giving his life, and the timing of all of it and how it lined up with Passover and all the stuff that they were already recognizing. You know, God just had taught them over the years and years and years, kind of prepared them for this moment, which is really neat. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And this Sabbath is Saturday, because it says in the next verse that it's the first day of the week. But tradition confuses this Sabbath with the one above in Mark 15, which we now know is Passover, a holy convocation, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, when they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. So he tells them, listen, go back and tell the men folk that you'll see him in Galilee, just like he told you, right? Before he was crucified, he told them where he would see them again. And so he's informing them of this case, right? But Jesus Christ was already up when they got there, right? So if we know that Jesus Christ died around 3 p.m. and that he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, that's 72 hours, right? 24 hours, 24 hours, and 24 hours is 72 hours. So if Jesus Christ died at 3 p.m., then it would follow that he what? Arose at around that time, 3 p.m., right? So when they came Sunday morning, he was not there. He is risen. He is not here. It's because he was already up. So if he got up the day before, that's Saturday, then all we have to do is count backwards our 3 days. And it goes Saturday to Friday to Thursday to Wednesday. Right? And so Jesus Christ was crucified on a Wednesday afternoon. He spent 3 days in the heart of the earth, 3 days and three nights, and arose again Saturday afternoon on the Sabbath when everybody's at home and doing no servile work, and gets up and walks out. And then when they come there very early in the morning on Sunday, he's already gone. He's already out of there, right? And so that is the accuracy and the truth of how it all happened, right? Then you have your 3 days and your three nights, and it all fits like a hand in glove, right? He did die right before a Sabbath, but that Sabbath was a high day, a holy day. Go to John chapter 3. So it's not even really Resurrection Sunday. It's actually Resurrection Saturday. But we recognize that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. It's a wonderful holiday to recognize what he accomplished for us. And we can just be mindful that the Word of God is accurate, right? God means what he says and says what he means. And it's truth. And in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved."
Right? And that's the whole reason for the season, the whole purpose of all of this. Right? When Jesus Christ was up on that cross being crucified, he said, "For this purpose was I spared." He understood what he was accomplishing for all of mankind. Right? That he was making it available for all of us to be born again, to be saved, to be sons and daughters of God, and to be able to spend eternity with God and with him as our brother. Right? And the great love that God had for us and the whole world to do that. Right? It's so easy for mankind to take advantage of salvation, to get born again, to be a son or daughter of God. God made it really, really easy, and it's all because of what Christ accomplished and the great love that God had for us.